From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of January 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmelies of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Ed Ossett from Extension at University of Missouri will join us to discuss the broader context of trade and new crop pricing of corn, soybeans, and wheat. And along the way, we'll take up the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse in Chicago, and Amy Sage will join us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to talk about the cash grain market on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today finished a quarter lower at $4.83¾. The May at $4.84 a quarter, up 1. July up 2 at $4.82¼. Next year's December, a quarter of a cent lower at $4.34½. January beans up 1¼, $13.16½, the settlement price. The March up 2 at $13.13, and the August beans at $12.65, 6½ cents higher. Bean meal down $7.20 at $4.27.20, and bean oil off 40 cents at $42.93. Soft red winter wheat, a penny and a half higher at $6.42 in the March, the July up 1½ at $6.29¾, and the hard red down 4 cents in the lead at $5.99½. The July there at $6.05, down 2¼ for the day. Live cattle futures were down $2.72½ at $112.30. In the February contract, feeders in the January down $4 even at $134.95. March down $4.20, by the way. Lean hogs up 95 cents at $71.22½ for the February contract. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to talk about what happened in Chicago on this Monday. Thank you for being with us, Kurt. It was a busy day in Chicago. Markets were up pretty sharply overnight and into part of the day trade, and then they began to roll over for what would have been the 15th day of higher closes in the corn market. They failed, at least in the lead option, and finally settled lower for at least one day. What'd you make of it all?
Well, Happy New Year for the Bulls. They've been on a roll. It's been quite a run in through here, especially with the overnight trade opening firm and they escalated to the upside in the evening hours. Then as we moved into the morning into the day trade, it kind of gave up some gains in through here. Profit taking, if you look at the short-term RSIs, they're up 92-95%. Longer-term RSIs, and it's 85%, indicating the market's overbought. So it's due to back and fill. Lead corn contract, 497¾, close to $5. That's quite an objective to try to maneuver above. There's ideas we could go to 515, and some of the bulls believe 550 a little bit longer term. Beans, same thing, 1349¾, close to that 1350, kind of failed there, back and filled. The key is to see if we bean market can stay above $13. When you look at the technical action overbought, momentum indicators are trying to roll over, but good bull markets stay overbought like good bear markets stay oversold. Time-wise, there's some time counts suggesting that we're getting close to maybe having some type of correction, but that's been the cards for about the last 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, so are you of a mind this is a good bull market?
Yeah, it's been that way. What's going to change it? We'll have to, you know, see that come at us. And part of the reason we're not having the correction that we usually see in the past is this large percentage of the grain's been sold. So there's really nothing over the market to keep a lid on it for the most part. When you look at the market chasing that last 10% of the bean crop and that last 30% of the corn crop, it's just a dynamic situation here until we find the end user saying, I'm looking at substituting meal. I'm looking at substituting corn. You know, when we start to get to that point, you know, maybe we can see more of a serious type of top action. Cash bids, you know, Decatur's been over $5 here for the last few days. Ethanol plants, you know, 10 to 15 over, still trying to gather some inventory. If the producer sold, he's not willing to be a seller at this point in time. What remaining inventory is around, kind of in a tight-fisted holding pattern here. Until guys need some more additional money or there's ideas that the market's going to go lower or goes lower and it spooks them out. So we'll see. It's a market that was stated quite a while back. It's one of these types of markets that happens about once every 10 to 15 years. And so we're fixing to find out here as we go into the month of January in 2021.
Early on, it was a weather or supply-driven market on the idea that we'd be in short supplies. I don't know whether that's still the case. This is a demand-driven market at this point?
Oh, it's a combination of all the above. It, you know, it's a perfect storm. You know, North America's pretty well sold out. The Southern Hemisphere's running into production concerns. They don't have a crop. It's not a total disaster as of yet. But how large, we'll find out here as we start to get a little bit more handle on it when the crop gets a little bigger and kind of go from there. But, yeah, it's all above. But the main thing, I think, is I don't want to point fingers, but it's a money game right now. Commodity funds are huge, huge longs in the marketplace. And used to be the trend your friend, but right now I think the commodity funds sets the trend and they're your friend according to what their position is.
Are they just rolling out of what they feel like could be riskier investments on other marketplaces?
Well, the idea is that with the weaker dollar, and I'm not a big fan of a strength and weakness of the dollar affecting grain prices, but the idea of the weaker dollar, that it would stimulate more demand, then plus two, there's inflationary fears. When you look at where we were, until now, grains were one of the cheapest products, hard assets to go to as an investment, maybe a hedge against some inflation. And when you look at past history with a tighter supply-demand balance sheet, they view that as a good investment and it's had some upside objectives. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, there's, I don't know if it would be next week or not, but there's ideas that carry-on beans could ratchet down a little bit more. There's ideas we'll have 100 million bushel bean carry out. So as long as that carry out keeps moving tighter and the investment money comes in and wants to maintain some ownership, then this thing's still fairly solid. Beans trading 40 higher, closing just a few cents higher. That's maybe a little bit of caution there that we might have maybe 6 hours, 12 hours of a correction maybe.
Yeah, so you did mention next week and the USDA reports, which are due out on Tuesday, the 12th of the month. Any indication of what trade is thinking about how those will impact the marketplace?
Yeah, we'll get a handle on what those numbers are here as we move through the week on the trade average estimates on it. But ideas are the soybean supply-demand balance sheet could tighten up anywhere from 20 to 30 million bushels. We'll see how those numbers unfold. More importantly, we'll see the grain stocks report and see how many bushels we've have left on some inventory. Then, of course, as we keep moving forward, probably the key would be the private estimates on the Southern Hemisphere, on the Brazilian and Argentine crops as we move forward here.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse. Hey, Mark, I hope you had a good holiday. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, had a great holiday and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year. Let's get right back to work because we haven't talked about the weather on this program for more than a week now, and we should check in with South America to see how things are progressing in the growing regions of Argentina and Brazil. Start with Argentina for me.
Sure. Yeah. Over the past few weeks, Argentina has continued to be in a drier mode. And in fact, for December, this last month was the third driest December for the Argentina Corn Belt since 2000. And so all the better rainfall was up north in areas of Brazil. So Brazil has improved in recent weeks. Argentina has trended downhill. And we feel that that general theme will continue looking out through the early to middle portion of January. And all the better rains will be up north in Brazil, where kind of near normal rainfall is expected. But for Argentina, really the next and main opportunity for some improvement, albeit minor, or it doesn't look like an all-encompassing event, but there's this 2 to 3 day window coming up about a week from now that looks to be the best opportunity for a bit more widespread rains in Argentina to provide some relief.
And how about in Brazil?
Yeah, for both southern Brazil and northern Brazil, this improved rainfall pattern, kind of a return to more normal rainfall amounts, that looks to continue for the next several weeks. And along with that, too, will be a lack of any kind of heat. So the overall, like, more favorable growing conditions in Brazil, both for corn and soybeans, that looks to be in place here for at least the next several weeks.
Here in the United States, what do you see?
Well, one thing we don't see, Todd, is any kind of big Arctic air masses coming down into the lower 48. While the polar vortex is going to be highly unstable these next few weeks and potentially beyond, all of the major cold around the northern hemisphere, it's going to be directed away from the U.S. So places such as Europe and Russia, as well as into China. In fact, China is the coldest right now and could see some pockets of winter crop damage there. And while Europe turns colder next week, for here in the U.S., it's a mild pattern still and don't see any significant cold. And at least for this week, not seeing any major storm systems here in the middle of the country.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Ed Ussett from the University of Minnesota. He's an Extension agricultural economist there. Ed, thanks for being with us. It's been a unique holiday week as it relates to the price of corn, soybeans, and wheat. And sometimes that happens because there's not a lot of trade that's going on and markets can move farther and faster. I'm wondering how you viewed this last week and what's been taking place.
Well, how I viewed the last week, first of all, I made it a point, Todd, and by the way, Happy New Year. I made it a point to kind of unplug from the markets. And I got away for a few days. I do some Nordic skiing like we do in the North Country. And came back and really took a hard look at the markets this morning. And you're full of understatements when you say the holiday season was unique. I mean, good grief. Prices have soared over the last week, continued to go higher. So I feel a little bit like Rip Van Winkle. I'm like, where was I? What was going on here? And I agree with you. I think it's sort of probably a slow holiday season, and the market has decided that it's going to drift higher as we go. And opening up some, if you have old crop left from 2020, some great opportunities, but I'm thinking about 2021.
Well, what are you thinking? There need to be new crop sales, man?
A month ago, Todd, I believe the last time we talked, I had mentioned that soybeans were on my radar for 2021. And of course, they're a dollar higher today than the last time we talked. But they had reached, my objective for getting started in 2021. Well, since then, December 21 corn, which this morning, well, as we speak, I think it's hanging around the 435 mark, new crop December 21 corn. That's above my starting level. I had in mind a 4.25, so we're a dime above that. And I'm even looking at wheat for people who have soft wheat or probably not too many hard wheat growers in your area. But that too, we're well above $6 on new crop wheat values. These are good places to start, if nothing else. Good place to get a start.
When you talk about starting, and let's talk about wheat because crop insurance has already been set, and some, myself included, use crop insurance kind of as a bar at which point I know how much I want to start with. So
yeah,
if I'm 80 or 85% coverage, I know that I need 15% to be sold at some point.
Mm-hmm.
What do you use for a starting? How much would do you think needs to be marketed or considered?
I like to think of how much you're willing to pre-harvest price. Be it, I'll pick a number of 50,000 bushels for corn, just to pick it. I would like to get 50,000 bushels priced. Think of the first half of the year. I'd like to get it done the first half of the year. When I say get started, why not 10 to 20% of it? 5 to 10,000 bushels, and be watching it every day. And in addition, hope like heck that guy from the University of Minnesota is wrong again, and that it keeps going up and keeps giving you a better opportunity. But the fact is, we're above production costs. For everyone listening, I believe new crop sales at this point are going to be profitable. And whenever I see that, you got to perk up and pay attention and get started. Get something started. I can't answer... I can't get inside everybody's head and see what their appetite for risk is, but this is certainly a great place to start in all three, corn, soybeans, and wheat.
What are the risks? Meaning, what are the fundamentals that could drive the market lower?
Plantings, planted acres. I'm kind of surprised in all the recaps I'm reading this morning. I didn't catch anyone talking about planted acres in 2021. And you just look at the soybean market right now, Todd. Tell me we're not going to have 3, 4, 5 million more acres of soybeans this year. I don't know how we avoid it.
The only way that doesn't happen probably is if prices plummet prior to crop insurance setting time, right?
That's right. That's right. Where we are right now, incredibly profitable. And corn is looking good. But the favorite of the three is soybeans right now, followed by corn. And wheat continues to be number three in the mix. Where do more soybean and corn acres come from? Probably wheat and other smaller commodities. But this amazed me in this big run-up, and I'm reading some background information on the current market. No one's mentioning plantings in 2021, and every listener you have should be asking themselves, do I intend to plant more? Because it's not an original thought if you did. Your neighbors are thinking the same thing.
You know, Darrell Good used to tell me, and I'd like your thought about this, and this was about wheat in particular in our region, but if wheat prices were high enough that it caused you to plant wheat in the fall on more acres than you were expecting to,
mm-hmm.
you should sell those acres at least,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, on soybeans or corn or any commodity, maybe that's not too bad advice. If you decide to increase because of price today, then that's a good sale.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good point. If someone was looking out at the farm and they're going to add 200 acres of soybeans to their farms this year versus last year, you're doing so because of today's opportunity that you see. So you probably ought to be thinking hard about getting that priced, or at least a good portion of it priced, because your reason is there, and your reason, it's there today, and it could disappear. Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
Any final word before I let you go?
Keep an eye on those plantings. We're all watching South America weather. We're all watching Chinese demand, but start thinking about planting intentions, your own planting intentions. And if, in fact, you're thinking, I'm going to find some more soybeans, I'm going to find some more corn, you're not the only one with that thought. And that brings us back to pricing 2021.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Todd. You have a good day and Let's hope everyone has a great new year.
You bet. That's Ed Ussett. He is an agricultural economist for University of Missouri Extension. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. We're joined by Amy Sage from the Andersons. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a great holiday week.
Yep, you too, Todd.
I know you're busy, probably with the beginning of the year kind of functions. I do have a couple of quick questions, though, and they're related to things that happen generally. So that which is in the elevator at this point, farmers will either need to make a decision as to whether to go ahead and market it or to hold it over at some point, probably not for a couple of weeks yet. But are they likely at these kinds of prices to go ahead and market, or do you think that they'll hold on for higher prices?
You know, we did see some selling activity here really for the past couple of weeks, more so in corn than in beans. But for the most part, guys are rewarding the rally a little bit, but hanging on to some of what they have left. You know, a lot of corn got sold across the scale at $4. A lot of beans got sold across the scale at $10. So of what is remaining out there, you know, people are rewarding the rally along the way, but not getting rid of everything they have left at this point. So kind of dribbling it in. And again, there's a lot more corn compared to beans left to sell at this point of the 2020 crop. So we're seeing more action in the corn than the bean market, and understandably so.
Given that, it sounds as if there's still some reluctance, and that might be based on the amount of corn they sold over the scale already or already have marketed, correct?
Correct, yes. Yep. You know, I think everything was doom and gloom, as we all know, this summer leading up to really last half of August. And so now that once we rallied and saw prices that we haven't seen in several years, particularly in beans, you know, people rewarded that. And I think it's caught everybody pleasantly by surprise that we've seen this much of a run. We've softened up here a little bit in corn after the spike earlier today, and beans as well. We've come significantly off the highs, although they're still in the green. But yeah, we've had a lot of positive movement, and we're starting to see a little bit of new crop activity as well. You know, we've gotten over 430 now in Dease corn. It actually traded up to 440 today on the board. November beans still close to $11 cash in this area. So starting to see a little activity there. Again, not going crazy. People pretty bulled up right now, and understandably so there as well, but starting to relieve some of that pressure and make some of their first sales.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it, Amy.
Thanks, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.